Morning, church. So today I'm going to be reading Luke 5:12, verse 16. And it happened when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleanliness, as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. The report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often with spoon into the wilderness and prayed.
Good morning, church. It's the morning. It's a delight for my wife, Chelsea, and I to be here today to worship with you. I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus will come and we will not need any of these things. Yeah. Thank you. I want to say thank you to the young lady who read the scripture. It's a beautiful story. But I want to talk about leprosy today. A Leper's Tale, actually. That's the title of my sermon. And it's not from Geoffrey Chaucer. No. Leprosy, many times when we think of it, we think it's only in the Bible times, but apparently it's in modern times as well. And the good news is that it's not as much as it used to be. The good news is that the World Health Organization says that right now very few countries have people with leprosy. But it is a chronic infectious disease, and it's caused by a type of bacteria called Mycobacterium leprae. The disease predominantly affects the skin and peripheral nerves. Left untreated, the disease may cause progressive and permanent disabilities. The bacteria are transmitted via droplets from the nose and mouth during close and frequent contact with untreated cases. Leprosy is curable with multi-drug therapy. Leprosy is reported from all the 6 WHO regions. The majority of annual new case detections are from the Southeast Asia region. Leprosy is also known as Hansen's disease. And some of you may remember in 1984 that Princess Diana, on a trip abroad, touched a leper. And it caused quite a stir. But I think that her medical team or her team advised her, and the help or the guidance from the World Health Organization is that one touch will not cause you to catch the infection. A handshake will not cause you to catch the infection, but it is continuous or continual touch that can cause problems. And as we've just read, via droplets from the nose and the mouth. So she was okay. She didn't catch leprosy. But in the times, in Bible times, and in the times when this story is told in Luke chapter 5, leprosy was a dreaded disease, because when you had it, it meant that you had to be separated from your home. You had to leave your home and go and live in a place where you will not be likely to meet other people and infect them. So it brought heartache and broken homes and problems for individuals who were diagnosed with leprosy. Suddenly, you can't be with your friends anymore, you can't be with your family anymore, you can't be with your children or your spouse anymore, you can't be with your parents anymore. Suddenly, you have to go and live separately. And so it was dreaded. When Jesus came to this earth, one of the things he came to do, well, he came to die on the cross to save us, and we've talked about that. It's a central part of why he came. But he also came to promote the kingdom of heaven and to tell people that it's for them. It's not, you know, everybody is welcome. Everybody can come into the kingdom of heaven. And he taught that by healing diseases, he showed that in the kingdom of heaven, there are no sick people. There is no sickness in the kingdom of heaven. But every time he found a sick person, he healed him, which was a good thing. And Jesus would go into a whole village, town, and they would bring sick people to him. And by the time he left that place, everybody was healthy. An amazing thing. We could do with someone like that in the NHS. Anyway, one of the other things that Jesus came to do was to destroy the works of the devil. He himself told a parable about a sower, a farmer who sowed good seeds. And in the night, an enemy came and sowed spurious seeds as well. So he knew that the devil had brought pain and suffering to the world by introducing sin into the world through Adam and Eve. And Jesus came to undo the work of the devil. So when he found a sick person, he cured him. We're told that he even raised people to life who were dead. He raised the dead to life again. So that was a good thing. And he says that one day when Jesus was going about preaching about the kingdom of heaven, telling people how they can be saved, and he says a leper came up to him. And I like to read the story again because he says the man was full of leprosy. He didn't just have a little infection, but he was full of the disease. Now, in the long term, if the disease is left untreated, one can lose the nerves at the peripheral ends of their body. So a thing could be cold, but when the leper touches it, he wouldn't know that it was cold. If the thing was hot, he wouldn't know that it was hot. So they could get hurt if it touched a hot iron or anything like that. They wouldn't know, and it would burn them, scald them if they put their hands in hot water. And so leprosy was not very good, and this man was full of it, he says. So he came to Jesus, and the fact is that he believed that Jesus could heal him. How he knew about Jesus might be other people telling stories of how they had been healed. So when he saw Jesus, he decided, I've got to talk to him. Several other people have that same situation, like a man called Zacchaeus said, I've got to see Jesus. I don't even know what he looks like. And so when Jesus came to his town in Jericho, he decided he was going to try and see him. And we are told that he climbed a sycamore tree, to get to see him. Many people, a lady had a problem with the flow of blood, and she said, I've got to see Jesus, if only he can help me. And she sneaked up to him and touched the hem of his garment. People understood that Jesus was the only person who could heal them, who could give them relief, healing, cure from their ailments. But what they didn't understand was that Jesus knew all about them. While they were sneaking up on him or, you know, trying to find out where he was, he knew exactly who they were, and he was expecting them. So when they came to him, it wasn't a surprise to him. He was happy to help them. This man came to Jesus and he said, if you will, please make me well. Do you think Jesus was happy to heal this man? I think he was because, like I said, his desire was to make people well who were unwell. His desire was to get people out of trouble and introduce them to the kingdom of heaven where none of these problems exist at all. And so the man came to Jesus and he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He didn't doubt Jesus' ability to heal. He was just thinking, would he be willing to do that? Because I'm a leper. Perhaps This was the first leper Jesus was going to be healing. Perhaps he hadn't healed any other leper before, and they didn't know how to relate to him. And Jesus said, he says, Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing. Now, because of the things I've said before, anybody will be not very happy to touch a leper because he was felt to be contagious. But Jesus wasn't afraid. Why not? Because the power that exists in Jesus, remember, Jesus is not just a man. He was the Son of God. He came down from heaven to help us. The power that he carried within him could create a brand new human being out of nothing. And so for a little spot of leprosy, that wasn't a problem at all. He was willing because he desired our good and he desired to heal us. And he put out his hand and touched him. And everybody gasped. Jesus is going to be unclean. Jesus is going to be... But nothing like that happened. Power flowed from Jesus through his hand, through his fingertips, into the man who had leprosy. And Jesus, the power changed his body physically. Where his fingertips were eating away, they regrew, they came back. The blood vessels were redone. The muscle was recreated. The bones were redone. And by the time Jesus finished and took his hand from him, he was like a brand new child, like a brand new person. How do I know that? Because he says in 2 Kings chapter 5, one of the other lepers mentioned in the Bible, Naaman was a leper. He was a valiant man, and he was a captain of the king's guard, but he was a leper. And he came to Israel from Syria, and Elisha the prophet ministered to him and healed him. He went and bathed in the Jordan River 7 times, and when he came out, he says that his skin was like that of a young child. Wow. So he would begin all over again. The wrinkles were gone, the blemishes were gone, the scars were gone. And so I believe that when Jesus touched this leper here in Luke, that his body became brand new as well. New bones, new skin, new nerves, new everything. And that is how Jesus heals. Now, he doesn't do things by halves. He wouldn't heal only your fingertips. He would heal your whole body. In fact, in sticking with Luke chapter 5, from verse 17 onwards to verse 25 or 26, there's a story of another man that Jesus healed. He was a paralytic, and Jesus was busy teaching, and the place was chock-a-block. The place was packed, and they couldn't get him into the door. So they went up and undid the tiles on the roof and let him down through the roof. And Jesus said to him, your sins be forgiven you. Because Jesus knew the source of his ailment, that he had not been, he'd been unkind to himself or stuff like that. And that's how he got sick, because he'd been a sinner. And so Jesus forgave his sins. And by forgiving his sins, he healed him physically as well. The people were murmuring and said, well, how could Jesus forgive sins? An ordinary man. They didn't know that he is the second person of the Godhead, God dwelling with us, Emmanuel. So Jesus said to him, take up your bed and walk. And he did. But Jesus healed him physically, and Jesus healed him spiritually as well. He forgave his sins. And I think that's what happens when Jesus heals people. He heals them physically, because that's what they need, because that's what they've asked for. But he heals them spiritually as well, because that's what they need. And he is preparing them for the kingdom of heaven. He himself said, we'll get there in Revelation 21, all these things that we see today, they won't be there when God recreates the brand new heaven and a brand new earth. But there you are. Jesus touched the man. And power went from Jesus into this man and healed him. And he became a completely new person. You know, one of the things we found in the Bible is that leprosy is likened to sin. When people have leprosy, the general population in those days would think that the person was a sinner. That's why they got leprosy, and that they were not a nice person. And so when you have leprosy, you are perceived as a sinner. But the fact is that the Bible tells us that we are all sinners. If you read Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God, glory of God." So we are all, in a way, sinners. And we are all, in a way, lepers. So when we read a story like this in Luke chapter 5, Luke was a physician, by the way, and he was interested in what happened to lepers and their cleansing. And when we read a story like this and we want to apply it, how do we apply this? We can say, well, we are just in the place of this sinner. There are two people there, Jesus and the leper. We couldn't be in Jesus' feet. Well, but we could be in this place of the leper. So we are, in a way, in quotes, lepers, because we are sinners. Is Jesus happy to save sinners? Is Jesus willing to help sinners? Is Jesus willing to make sinners clean so they can inhabit the kingdom that he's preparing? Yes. We read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In fact, Jesus came as the antidote to sin. He came as a cure or the solution to the sin problem. When Adam and Eve sinned, a lot of things happened. First of all, they were separated from God. God would come down in the afternoon and have a chat with Adam and Eve. But once they sinned, he couldn't do that anymore because he was like a destroying fire to them, because they now had sin in them, and his holiness would burn the sin and destroy them. The sin in them and destroy them with their sin. So God didn't come to visit them anymore. He sent angels, he sent prophets, and he prepared the way for when Jesus would come to die on the cross so that there'll be a reconciliation and we can be back together with the family on earth, we'll be back together with the family in heaven. And of course, that has happened when Jesus came and died on the cross. So now we are looking forward to that day. And Jesus will come back to this earth to take his people home. And we won't be afraid of him anymore. He wouldn't be destroying us because we would have been cleansed and we could stand in the presence of a holy God and not be destroyed. So that's one of the things that his coming to earth came to do, to bring reconciliation between the family on earth, sinful human beings, and the family in heaven. And there's a beautiful passage in 1 John 1:9. I think I want to read that now. 1 John 1:9. It says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness." So if we look at ourselves and we say we are lepers, we are sinners in front of a righteous judge, he gives us the solution how we can be right with him. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. In the same way that he was willing to touch that leper and say, "I'm willing, I want to make you clean, be clean," and the man was clean. When we come to God and we confess our sins, he is able to touch us and heal us and cleanse us from our sin and make us sinless. That is an amazing thing, and I think that everybody should try that. Everybody should try that. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us." So when God heals us and cleanses us and forgives our sins, what next? What happens? Well, he fills us with the Holy Spirit, and then we get something else instead of our leprosy. In Galatians 5:22, it says, "But it's the fruit of the Spirit is love and peace and joy and forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So these things are good things that God wants us to have. On our own, we can't get them. We don't know where to get them. But when we go to Jesus and he allows the Holy Spirit to come and live in us, the Holy Spirit will bring with him the love that we so need, the joy and the peace and the forbearance and all the different things that we need. And so we are not just healed physically, we are healed spiritually. we are changed from within and we become brand new creatures, which is what Jesus needs for his kingdom. Because he has told us in John 14, 1-3, he's going to prepare a place for us in heaven. And when he finishes preparing a place in heaven, he'll come back to this earth. Because what a beautiful city like the New Jerusalem needs is people. A city is not good without people. And we wouldn't fit in if we had leprosy or sickness or sin in our systems. So Jesus has got a plan all worked out. He will heal us. He will cleanse us. He will make us brand new people, fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we can have love and joy and peace. And then we can fit into the New Jerusalem that he's preparing for us in the atmosphere of heaven. That is what Jesus plans to do with not just the people he met while he was here many years ago, but with the people who are living right now. We all know that this world is not a very good place. Every day we come face to face with challenges, with temptations, with sins, with illnesses, with all sorts of problems. Everybody is looking for something better. We think that the politicians might be able to deliver. They can maybe brush up the health system, the NHS, but that will not do, as we all know. Anything that humans do falls short of God's ultimate plan. So all we need to do is to go to Jesus himself, the Creator. And then when he sorts us out as individuals, he makes us citizens of that eternal kingdom, which is coming, will be coming down in the clouds one of these days. And then he'll be calling us to come and live in that place. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more leprosy. There'll be no more hospitals. But we must be willing. We must be willing to live in that place. We must be willing to take the cleansing that only he can reach. This leper knew that he needed help. The problem with mankind is that sometimes we don't even know that we need help. Or we think we need a different kind of help than what God is willing to give us. Jesus went to a man who was sick, lying by the pool of Bethesda. He'd been sick for 38 years. And Jesus went to him and said to him, "What would you like me? Would you like to be made well?" And that was a very strange question. Everybody knew that the man was lying there because he wanted to be well. That's why he went to the pool of Bethesda. It is rumored that an angel came and stirred the water, and the first person to get into the water after he's been stirred would become well. So that's why his relatives had brought him there. And Jesus said to him, "Would you like to be made well? Would you like to be whole?" And that's because sometimes we humans, we are itching here, but we want to scratch that place. We don't know what we want. We don't know what we need. We don't know what is really good for us. And sometimes the person who can give us the best help, which is Jesus, we turn our backs on him. Because for all sorts of reasons, all sorts of reasons. But Jesus is a kind person. He's a lovely person. He says when he was here, people followed him. That's why Zacchaeus could not approach him. He had to go and climb a tree. Everywhere Jesus went, people were there. Loads of people. Because he was kind. He had a lovely smile on his face, and he was kind to people. He says even the children, when he took them in his arms, look up at his face. And they fell in love with him straight away. There are some people, when they take your child, the child cries even louder. But when Jesus took the children in his arms, they loved him. So Jesus, people loved him. And of course, when he spoke, they hadn't heard anything like that before. They said, "Never man speak like this." They enjoyed listening to him and the stories that he told. People, in fact, there was a boy, they didn't give his age, but he went to visit Jesus instead of going to football or video games or whatever it is. He carried his lunch and went to listen to Jesus. Can you imagine that? Preteen. But he followed Jesus. And today, people have given Jesus a bad name. Sometimes the only way they mention his name is in swearing. But we know that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible tells us that much. And he says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I finish preparing that place, I'll come back again to receive you, that where I am, there you may be also." And so today we can rest assured, we can feel confident that we can approach Jesus. A leper did, a leper of all people. I mean, lepers would be afraid to come into a place where there are others because of their contamination, possible contamination. But this leper felt that Jesus would listen to him. This leper felt that Jesus could help him. This leper felt that Jesus was what he needed, who he needed. And he approached him boldly. Did Paul say something about coming boldly to the throne of grace? Yes, he came to him boldly. So whatever our circumstances are, we can approach Jesus boldly. He will not turn anybody away who comes to him. But he accepts all people, no matter what their background is like, no matter what their bank account is like. Jesus accepts everybody. Christ receives especially sinners. Listen to this from Signs of the Times, January 3, 1895, paragraph 3. This is why he's speaking. She says, "The Lord never forsakes the soul that puts his trust in him. Those who claim to be the sons and daughters of God must trust always in Jesus. To do otherwise is to disown the fact that he loves us. The Lord never forsakes the soul that puts his trust in him." Indeed, in Isaiah, he is the one who is inviting us, the lepers and the sinners and all. He said, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." He calls us, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So if we are feeling a bit nervous about coming to Jesus and we are trying to hide behind somebody else, Jesus breaks the silence. He says, "I see you. Come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me and I'll give you healing. Come to me." And by the way, Jesus is already in touch with us in so many different ways. I mean, my wife and I were living in Aylesbury at the time, and we were driving through Hemel Hempstead. And we were coming down this dual carriageway. We just passed your church, actually. We were going down to the Magic Roundabout. And then our car broke down. Our little girl was in the car. So we decided that we would push the car off the dual carriageway, it's the fast road, to the side. And so Chelsea was in the driving seat this time, and I was pushing from behind. And a kind gentleman, Hemel is full of very kind people, he came and he said, "I'll help you." And he was helping me. We were pushing the car. It was about dusk, just before, after sunset, I suppose, but just before it went completely dark. And we were pushing the car. And then all of a sudden, we felt bright headlights behind us. And a lady was coming at terrific speed down towards us. She didn't know that our car was broken. She didn't know we were pushing, and she was coming down on us. And you know what? In the twinkling of an eye, the angel of the Lord that Jesus sent, he picked us up and put us on the side of the road. I'm not athletic, never been athletic. I'm not smart or anything. There was no way I could have jumped out of the way. And the lady smashed into the back of our car. Fortunately, nobody got hurt. We were shaken up, you know, and we were thinking about what had just happened. And we realized that God had just worked a big miracle for us. When you are feeling nervous about approaching Jesus, he already knows you. He has already touched your life in so many different ways without your understanding and realization. And so when you're coming to him, you're coming home. You're coming home to Daddy, and he's happy to have you come. He will not just put his hand on your shoulder and say, "I'm willing, get this leprosy out." He's willing to give you a hug and embrace you and make you part of his eternal kingdom. I want to read what he promises us here. Revelation 21 and 1 to 5 says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. When you're sitting in church and there are other believers around, it feels comfortable. What about the Tuesday night when there's no pastor, there's no elder, there's nothing, no singing on the screen, and you are feeling terrible? In the same way, you can reach up, raise up your hand wherever you are and say to Jesus, I come to you because you are the only one who can help me. And tell him your problems and confess your sins. And he will receive you just as if you were in a group of other believers. In fact, he works better on a one-to-one. He works better on the one-to-one, which is why he dealt with so many people in that way. One-to-one. Lady at the well, Zacchaeus, etc., etc. But there is hope in Jesus. In this life, we will have tribulation. In this life, we will have leprosy and diabetes and cancer and all sorts of things. But Jesus said, I am the one who was alive and dead, and I live again, and I have the keys of death and the grave, and I have the key to all sicknesses, and I have the key to all problems. I have the solution to everything that you will run into while you are here. So just come. I'm willing, he says. I'm happy to help you. I pray that we will listen to his voice and accept his invitation and come to him, so that we will be recreated and renewed, and our citizenship will be certain in the new Jerusalem that he's created. May God bless us all. Amen.